the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now we're going to stop right there, and if we get a time before this morning, we'll continue on the verses, but if not, we'll finish up on some of them tonight. What a wonderful portion of God's Word this is. As we see the Lord Jesus Christ, after that great chapter of the 12th chapter where the Lord Jesus Christ has to suffer even at Bethany, and we noticed in one of the other chapters where he raised Lazarus from the dead, how even the Lord Jesus Christ was bidden by Mary to come. She didn't say, Lord, the one that loves you, but the one that you love. So many times, as we pointed out in our last message, we think that we love the Lord and we forget how much he loved us. And we love him, he loves us a lot more than we love him. And it's so easy to say, well, so-and-so loves the Lord. Beloved, we don't love him as much as he loves us. Now, in this chapter, we notice that a great portion of God's Word, the Passover at that time. The Passover when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to give himself the ransom for sin. All things would be committed into his hand at this hour. This was going to be his hour, and the power of darkness was stretching out its long fingers to grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep him in darkness forever, as it had for every other sinner that had gone on before. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin, and he was going to conquer sin, but he was going to be made sin for those people whose places he was taking. Now, you notice in this portion of God's Word, in the first verse, it says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. You know, many times he would say to the disciple, My hour is not yet come. But now the hour had come. And beloved, he knew all things that would befall him. Now, what would we say if we knew what was going to happen to us tomorrow? You know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. Some of us might be rushed into the hospital this afternoon. Some might have a car accident. We hope not, but we don't know what will happen to us. Somebody else might take a revolver and shoot you. You don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen in this life. Aren't you glad of that? But the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's why in the Scriptures it points out he was exceedingly sorrowful. Notice in the 12th chapter and the 27th verse, for a verse of Scripture that we have there, it says, Now is my soul troubled. Why was the soul of the Lord troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. It was his hour that he was going to take. All things were committed into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what was before him. He knew that the nails would take part in his hands and his feet. He knew that the whip would be upon his back. But beloved, the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not shrink from all of this was going to be put upon him, but he would stand there and take it and not hide his face from spitting and from buffeting, from
slapping him from the fist, hitting him in the face. He knew all of these things would happen. All of us would say, well, let's get out of this part of the country. But he said, should I leave from this hour? This is why I was born. This is the reason that I came into the world for this very hour. This is the hour. And the Father in heaven has committed all into my hands. For notice what he says there into this verse, into the third verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. He knew all of these things were before him, and the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to take them. Notice the 11th chapter and the 33rd verse of the Gospel of John. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Again, we notice the Lord Jesus Christ was troubled. He was sorrowful, not for Lazarus, because he knew that he would raise him from the dead. But he was sorrowful for the disciples because they could not believe in him. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet the ones that were close to him could not believe that his words were true. I know Martha said that he would rise in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm going to raise him from the dead. And he wept because of the lack of their faith. He hated to leave his own because he loved them. You notice what it says in that 13th chapter in the first verse, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He wasn't loved of them unto the end, but he loved them to the end. Peter was denying outside the cross before the crucifixion. He was denying the Lord Jesus Christ. So you couldn't say that he really loved him, although Peter showed more love for the Lord Jesus Christ than probably any other disciple. Because that he was there at the cross, he was there at the place where they were taking the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there witnessing all these things. So he loved him, but yet he denied the Lord. But the Lord loved him to the end. He loved Peter. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to know in God's Word that he loves us, though we fail him? It's not our love, beloved. It's his love that is so great. It's his attitude toward us. We would condemn others for the things that we do to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we slight him, but he never slights us. Notice he loved them unto the end. Right to the very end. And you notice in that verse, we don't want to skip over that first part. It says, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. He knew he was going to go back to the Father. Now, he wasn't sorry that he was going back to the Father, but he was sorry to leave these, because he knew how weak the individuals were in the gospel. He knew how weak their faith was. But he was going to strengthen their faith. And before he left, remember, he breathed on them that they might be held until the Holy Spirit would endow them on the day of Pentecost. When after they had received the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd be filled with the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God with them when the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. For he says that in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. The Spirit of God was with you, but shall be in you. It's a great thing to have the Spirit of God in us, dwelling us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that overcomes the world, is even the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice in the second verse, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. Can you imagine the devil coming upon Judas? Here Judas was one of the ones that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew him. But you know, as you read a portion of God's Word like this, how it touches your heart. To think of even today that are a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord, and yet have never touched the hem of his garment, have never gotten close to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saying his words because you can repeat words, you can memorize words, and you can say it. Reminds me of the great preacher that got up and quoted the 23rd Psalm. My, he quoted just perfectly. Everything was just right. And then an old farmer got up behind him. Hardly could quote the song. But one says, well, one knows the song, and the other knows the shepherd of the song. You know, that's a lot of truth in it. You can know all the words perfect,
But if you don't know the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ who He sent into the world, this only comes a dead book. But the difference is life that the Lord Jesus Christ imparts into the heart of an individual. Here Judas was around the Lord Jesus Christ, but was not converted. And the devil entered into Judas. And yet not one in the group would say Judas was the one that was going to betray him. For the Lord Jesus Christ told them that one would betray him. And they said, well, Lord, who is it? Who is it? It gets on later on into our chapter. We better not even get into that message, or we won't have anything to say tonight, will we? But anyway, we see that in this portion of God's Word, it's easy to see that Judas was one in the midst, but he never took part of the Lord. He was always on the outside, and as we looked at him, even when Mary broke the box and anointed his feet, remember he said in the 5th verse of the 12th chapter, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pences and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having the bag and bear which was put therein. In other words, he was even putting his hand in the bag and taking out. He was a thief. He was stealing even from the Lord's work. You know, beloved, you don't trust anybody with money unless they're trustworthy. And as far as the disciples were concerned, Judas looked like a true disciple of Christ. They would not expect that this one would deny the Lord or would take the Lord Jesus Christ to the place of the cross and put a kiss upon his face and say, he is the one. They would never expect Judas because he was the one they trusted. They probably trusted the Lord, Judas more in some respects than they trusted even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now that's a hard statement to say. But you know, a lot of times when you give your money to a person, you trust that individual. There's not many people that will give $1,000 to you and say, you keep this for me until I come back. I'm going into a far country. I knew a man one time said to an American, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm a citizen of another country. If I give you $5,000, will you put it in the bank in your name and keep it for me? And the other fellow said, I sure will. And he would have done it for him. And the other man would have trusted him because he was a trustworthy friend. He knew that man was trustworthy. He wouldn't have said that to everybody because somebody would have taken the $5,000 and said, thank you very much, it's mine now, you're in another country, and your money's going to be gone when you come and collect it, I'll use it. But you see, a man that's trustworthy is one that you can trust. Now here, they trusted Judas, but he knew that the devil was going to enter him. Now can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ looking at Judas, and no doubt noticing the very hours when Judas was having Satan enter into him, knowing now it wasn't Judas anymore he was dealing with, but it was Satan. And beloved, we have to recognize this even in the world today. Sometimes it's not individuals that we're dealing with, it's Satan himself, and that's why we have to be equipped with the Word of God. Put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the evil one in the evil day in which we are living. And we are living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last days just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. I'm glad I'm living in this time of history because I think it's the most exciting time as you see everything being prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, he could come this morning. Everything is right. Trouble on every side. Even our White House this morning is guarded double. The president has more people around him than probably any other president has had because of threats from outside. But you know, the United States is probably not going to fall from others on the outside, but it's going to fall from the people inside. Many great men have said this, and I think it's true. We're going to be our worst enemies to ourselves by letting sin abound and letting it take over our country as we have. And thanks be to God for those that are speaking out for the Lord Jesus Christ and are witnessing for him and taking a stand against sin, because this is the thing that is destroying our country and has destroyed others as well. It is always the downfall of any nation, and it's a rebuke to any nation to have sin in it. Now we notice that Judas is one that's there at the table. He's taken part now of the Passover, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to wash the disciples' feet.
Is he going to wash the feet of Judas? Is Judas going to be there? Yes, he's going to be there. Is he going to wash his feet? Yes. And you mean the devil has already entered Judas's heart and the Lord's going to bow down and wash the feet of Judas? Yes, beloved, that's how much he loved Judas. You see, though he knew that Judas had given himself over to Satan, he still loved him. Here we notice in the scripture, notice the third verse, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. Now, beloved, when the Father gave all things into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was going to be his victory now. We don't see, except at the place of the garden scene where the Lord Jesus Christ had asked this cup to pass from him, where the angels came and strengthened him. Other than that, we don't see that the Father speaks to the Lord anymore because he had committed all into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I give a simple illustration to try to put this point into our mind, but it may be too simple to use, but here a man owns a big business. And he says to his son that's coming up, he says, "Now, son, I want you to go over to so-and-so city. That place is costing us money. That company isn't running right. Now, son, you have everything at your disposal, all the wealth of this main company, to go to that smaller company, that part which is making failure for us. We want you to go in there and we want you to straighten out the mess. It's all into your hands. The company is behind you." And that's all the father says to the son. And the son goes to that city and he tries to straighten out the mess in that business. Everything is at his disposal to straighten it out. The Father has given him, it's into your hands. Now, beloved, it's the same thing that the Father said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is in your hands. The hour is before you, the hour of testing, the hour of trouble, the hour of agony is before you, my son. But it's all in your hands now. I'm going to leave it up to you. Can he say, "Let this cup pass from me"? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He wanted the Father's will to be done according to the plan that he had given him. So notice what he says, "Into thy hands that, and that he was come from God and went to God. And he raised it from supper," and now notice this, "and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself." Now, you know, if we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one that put the moon and the stars in its place, each one of these creations that the Lord Jesus Christ has created, even man himself now, is taking a towel and he's girding himself. Could we turn to the book of Exodus, please? The book of Exodus, and I want us to see a verse of scripture here in the 28th chapter of this great book of the Old Testament, which is given of the priest's garment. And there's one part of the garment that all scholars have looked at and have wondered about, and they say many things about it. Some have called it an embroidered garment, but that's not really the case, because even the ephod itself was a very embroidered garment. But I want us to see from the Word of God in the 28th chapter of Exodus, and the 8th verse, it says, "And the curious girdle of the ephod." Now, people have tried to make all kinds of statements over this verse, what the curious girdle is, that it was a special embroidered garment. Beloved, curious. It was a curious girdle. And I believe with all of my heart, as other writers have said as well, that the curious girdle is this that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, and other places in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus Christ takes a towel and girds himself. Isn't it a curious thing that the Lord God of heaven, the one who created mankind, would take a girdle, would take a towel and wrap around himself and bend down and wash the feet of such like Judas, one that would be betraying him? Here the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, would bow down and wash the feet of one like Peter that would deny him. We'd say, well, the Lord would only touch those that were worthy to be touched. Beloved, in the eyes of God, we're all worthy to be touched.
no matter what kind of a sinner we are. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad that God's precious blood that He gave on the cross of Calvary was shed for all mankind? It was a curious girl. It was curious to Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, would bow down and start to wash the feet of the disciples. And no doubt Peter, standing there and witnessing this, looking and saying, "That's my Lord. That's the one that I've looked up to. I'm never going to let him wash my feet." And beloved, it isn't, I think, that Peter thought he was better than for the Lord to wash his feet. I don't think that's the thing. I think really the thing is that Peter had respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized that a job should have been done by somebody else, but it was the Master that was doing it, and it wasn't his place to do this humble job. And he felt no doubt bad in his own mind and heart that he would wash the feet of the other disciples, such as Judas and the other ones that were gathered there, and he in himself said, "Lord, you're never going to do it to me. I'm not going to let you do it to me." But the Lord wanted him to see something. The Lord said, Jesus said, in the ninth verse, or eighth verse, Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." You don't have any part with me, Peter, if you don't let me wash you. And beloved, today a person has no part with the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has washed them. Could we look at the book of Revelation, the first chapter, and just think of this great portion of God's Word, and we all know it very well, the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and the fifth verse, and notice what it says here. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Beloved, what does Revelation 5 say here in the first chapter? "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Aren't you thankful that you've been washed? There's some people who have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have had their sins washed away. And they have no part with the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas had no part with him, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not single him out and skip him. He washed his feet. You would think this would have turned that heart of Judas to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see, he had no part with Christ other than letting the Lord Jesus Christ wash him physically. He would never enter into the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, but would rather betray him. Peter knew what it was to be washed. He said, "Lord, not me. I'm not worthy." I think is the attitude of Peter. "I'm not worthy to be washed of thee." The Lord says to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." And beloved, here in the fifth verse of the first chapter of Revelation, it says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us." Aren't you glad that you've been washed? Now notice, washed us from our sins in his own blood. I always like to look at this. Of the prodigal son, you know, so many times that we see stories and messages on the prodigal son. And we see the son coming to the father, and when he's a far way off, the father ran to him and loved him and kissed him. You remember that the father did not say to him first, "Go and wash, son, and then I'll have something to do with you. Go and shave, son, I'll have something to do with you." You know, he didn't say that. He saw him afar off, and he ran to that boy, and he threw his arms around that boy, and he loved him when he was still smelling like this pig pen. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ loved Judas, though he smelled like the pig pen. But Judas would not repent. The Lord Jesus Christ loved him to the end. He chose Judas. He wanted the heart of Judas to repent of his sin and turn to him. But all the love that the Lord Jesus Christ showed to Judas would not turn his heart, for he had let Satan enter his life. Beloved, it's an easy thing to let either one of two people into your life. You either let Satan into your life, or you let the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. And to whom you say yes, that is your master. Who is our master today? The devil, as Judas served, or the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we should serve?
If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad for the way that Revelation says it there? Unto him that loved us and washed us. He loved us first, then he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Beloved, he takes the sinner to himself and he loves him. And he loves him to the end. It's a great thing to see in the scripture. But you know, as you get into this portion of God's word, you just imagine the disciples thinking when he raised from supper in that fourth verse, and in the fifth verse, he poured the water into a basin, and no doubt in their minds they were saying, well, what's going on here? What's he up to? What's the Lord going to do now? Here they sat at the Passover feast. They've had the Passover, and in between the Lord's Supper and the Passover, before he instituted the Lord's Supper, he takes his face in the water and he washes the feet. You know, I believe that water that day was just right. It wasn't scalding hot that it would cook the feet of the disciples. It wasn't ice cold to freeze them. I believe the temperature was just right. You know, that's the way we should wash one another's feet. In love and tenderness and in kindness, loving one to another. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ took those disciples' feet and he washed them. You know, there are some places, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but there's some places that wash the feet. I asked a man one time, I said, when you go to your feet washing service, are your feet dirty? He says, no, sir. He says, I'm sure. He says, all the feet washing services I've been to, he said, I've never found a dirty foot yet. I said, well, that wasn't the way the Lord, when he washed the disciples' feet. They were dirty. They were stinking. I'm sure that everybody that goes to a foot washing service today, be sure on Saturday night, probably manicures their toenails as well. Be sure that everything looks well. And everything is right, but beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet, it was a job that hadn't been done by somebody else, because of custom of the Far East was when they came in with those sandals into a home, they had a servant at the door. And the servant, as the person would enter the door, they would take and wash the travel stains off the person's foot, that they wouldn't have dirty feet. It would relax them, and they'd come into the house with clean feet. Nobody had done it that day, but the Lord noticed it. And he shows what it is to be a servant to mankind. And beloved, how hard it is to find out what it is to be a servant. You know, so many times in Christian life we try to exalt ourselves above the sinner. But you know, we're servants to the sinner. In order to serve somebody, you've got to be lower than they are. Not that they're counted as their master in this respect to sinners, but you bow down to them and serve them with the wonderful word of God, that they might be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't lift ourselves up high and better than the world, saying, oh, look what I am. I'm so much better than you. I don't do this and I don't do the other thing. And this is why the world isn't saved today, because we're not serving the world. We're criticizing the world. The Lord Jesus Christ showed us to be humble and to be a servant to mankind. And he bowed down and he washed the disciples' feet. And I just can imagine when he started on that first disciple. Imagine a disciple said, I should be doing it. But the disciple didn't say, Lord, give me that towel and let me do it. They still had the proud flesh of not wanting to serve one another. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to serve mankind and to save mankind. And he's teaching his disciples, this is your job, to serve the world, to bring the gospel to all people. And isn't that what the scripture tells us? Even in the book of Romans, how beautiful, and in the Old Testament as well, how beautiful are the feet of those that publish glad tidings and bring the good news of the gospel of Christ, the greatness of the feet of those that go out for the Lord. But you notice what he says, then cometh he to Simon Peter. Beloved, I said to myself as I read this verse, if I would have been there, what would I have said? The Lord says, Jim, I want to wash your feet. I know my feet aren't very clean now, and he looks at me. I've been traveling on a road, and I realize he's the master. And am I going to commit my dirty feet to him? Would I say like Peter, Lord, not me, not my dirty feet? You see, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to cleanse our way. You ever thought of that? He started right where we walked. Peter, I want to cleanse your walk. Not only your talk, but I want to cleanse your walk. And beloved, this is so important for all of us to have our walk cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to wash your feet. Peter said, not only my feet, Lord, my hands and my head as well. Now he wants a good dose. He wants the Lord to know, I love you, Lord. I don't care. I just didn't want you to think that I was better than you. Now some might take a different look at Peter in this way and think it was a haughty attitude, and you might just be right and I might be wrong. But the way I like to look at it, I'm not trying to build up Peter and take down our Lord. I don't mean that at all. But I think Peter had so much respect for the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved his Lord. And now when the Lord says, you won't have any part of me, Peter, he had to rebuke him. Peter said, oh, Lord, not only my feet, but my head. Start there. Start with my head and my hands as well. He said, Peter, you don't need to be cleansed all over. Notice that 11th verse, or the 10th verse. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Oh, beloved, he knew one wasn't clean. He knew one was there that wasn't saved. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he's in heaven this morning at the right hand of the Father, he knows in his audience that there's somebody that's unclean, that you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can look down from heaven right into the hearts of men and women that are gathered here this morning, to the boys and the girls that are in the other part of the auditorium. And he knows those that are his and those that aren't his. Those that are just pretending. And beloved, we have so many. Dr. McGee the other night said, and I think it was so right that he said, or the other day, and last night I heard him as well, and he was speaking a good message. He spoke a real good message last night. But anyway, during the day he said, I think that in our churches today we have a lot of people that have never been saved. Beloved, we have a lot of Judases today. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if there was an individual that had fooled everybody, but they hadn't fooled God, nor had they fooled the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus knew about Judas. He knew he wasn't clean, though he washed his feet. You might have taken part at the Lord's Supper, but your feet might not. Your feet might be clean because the Lord Jesus Christ had washed it, but your heart might not be. Because you've never turned it over to him. You've come and taken part of the Lord's Supper. You've broken bread and you've put it in your mouth. And you've even said to yourself, this is the body of Christ which is broken for me. And I thank you. You might have even gone through the ritual and maybe one time the Lord's Supper meant something to you. But now it's a foreign thing. It's because you were never partakers of the divine life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never been born into his family. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew there was one that wasn't clean. Notice the 11th verse. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He knew that one would betray him. But beloved, I believe that we're coming to a day in our country that we're going to find those that are going to stand up and betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Lord does not come, I think each one of us are going to see that the church itself is going to decay more rapidly than it is already today. And the true believers are going to have to stand alone and take a stand on things. And the other church is going to take over. The church is going to take over in a way that they say, if you don't compromise in your beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ and give up some of your doctrine, you're not going to be of this universal church. But a true believer will not be able to give up. He will have to stand true to the Word of God. And then we're going to find those that are going to stand up against Christ and go for the church of all the nations to be gathered to worship Satan himself. But the true believers will have to stand alone. And sometimes in a household they're going to stand alone. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows those that aren't going to stand, and he knows those that are going to stand. Everybody in the group here of that 12 thought Judas would never betray him. But he was the betraying one. And beloved, we notice here in the scripture it says, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Notice the next verse.
So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you?
And beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing what we have seen what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each one of us who have accepted him? He has washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. He had to go to the cross of Calvary. You notice he says in the next verse, in the 13th verse, So ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. Then if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The humble place of the servant. Serving others. And beloved, isn't this the joy of any true believer? To try to help another believer on the way in the things of which we go. You know, I think today that there's a lot of Christians that are suffering around the country. And how we should pray for our brothers and sisters that are out of work. There's a lot of places up north that some of the brethren that have had good jobs have lost them. And now they don't have what they once had. We need to be concerned for them. We need to pray for them. And for where we can help out financially, we should even help out financially. How we need to be together as one. But beloved, we're going to see the day coming when the world is going to go against us. But we have overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us all these things would come. He told us that these things would come. He knew that Judas was there to betray him, but he didn't shrink from it. We know these things are before us. Should we shrink from it? For it is his hour. Should we try to get out from it? No, we should walk just like he walked. Walk to the Lord Jesus Christ in all his greatness and love. But you know, as you look at this scripture and you think of Judas, he could have repented and been saved. But he repented not. Maybe you've heard the word of God this morning and you've been touched by the scripture and you say, I'm one. I've been walking in the church. I've been a member of the church, but I've never surrendered my life to Christ. Well, this morning you can surrender yourself to him. Maybe you've broken bread. Maybe you've taken communion. But you've never said yes to Christ. Beloved, there's one other scripture I want us to turn to in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. You notice what it says in the 3rd verse. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you know this morning you're a little cleaner by coming this morning than you were when you came in? Because you've heard the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us. Cleansed by the Word of God. You know, it's a wonderful thing at the end of the day to take the Word of God and to read it and to study it. And just to meditate upon it. I know some people like to read the Bible in the morning, and that's great. I'm not picking on that. I'm kind of a night owl myself. My reading's done more at night. I'm more awake at night. I come to wake at 12 o'clock at night. That's when I wake up. The rest of the day, I'm just kind of in a stupor. But, you know, at night, I wake up. I must be a person of the night. But anyway, I love to read rather at night and study at night. But, you know, a lot of people get up early in the morning and they study. I know one morning, man, he gets up every morning at 5 o'clock and he studies the Scripture for an hour before he goes to work. Well, that's great. I'm not criticizing that. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to come at the end of the day. Even if it's just a scripture or two scriptures or five or a chapter. To just get the travel stage off you, washed through the Word. The last thing at night, put something in your mind about the Scripture. And how easy it is to meditate upon those things instead of all the troubles of the day. If you're meditating upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Word of God, what does it say there in that third verse? Now ye are clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. He washed their feet. They were clean. They were clean through the word that he spoke. And we are clean through his word. But beloved, we're clean from our sins as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one person here this morning without Christ. Why don't you accept him right now, right where you sit? You could be saved right where you sit.
by asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life to cleanse him from all your sins. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Father, we realize that this has not been a truly gospel message this morning, but one even to instruct us Christians how we should walk and talk and to even love thee, because thou hast first loved us and hast washed us from our sins in his own blood. We're thankful, Father, that you loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And Father, if there's one here this morning, if like Judas, they have never taken part in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never received him, we pray that even now they might receive him. We ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Could we sing in closing this morning, as him I love so well, just as I am without one plea, number 373. We're going to sing only the first and the fifth stanza. But maybe there's one here without Christ. Maybe you asked him to come into your life when we were praying, and you'd like to publicly confess him. Why don't you do it when we sing this verse? Or if you don't know Christ and you'd like to be saved, why don't you just slip out of that seat that I might be able to take God's word and point you to the Savior this morning. You can be saved and know it and show it to others. Shall we stand as we sing number 373?